All right. Hey. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is Friday, May the 2nd, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you were at. Just got back from doing my walk. My walk and wait. Walk and weigh. How should I say that? Wait and walk. No, walk and weigh. I walk and then I weighed myself. And I am down 200.5. I've lost 4.5 pounds. Awesome. That's freaking cool, man. I've adjusted my eating. I've adjusted my exercise. Listen, and the reality is it's summer. It's hard to stay active in the winter, but it is spring, summer, weather, beautiful, paddling, walking, you know. Also, I just sort of got to that point, right? Got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I decided I was ready. And for today, because this isn't the first time I've been ready, but for today, I've been showing up, and I'm getting results. And it's funny, the biggest difference with what I'm doing today and what I've done in the past is I'm eating more food. And yesterday was really tough because I did not feel like eating. And it's interesting. I've become accustomed to feelings. How, like, if my stomach feels one way, I'm like, this is how I am because this is how I feel. And what I'm learning is it's not always, my stomach won't feel good, but I'll feel like I've eaten too much. I'll feel like it's not digesting. I feel, you know, these weird, you know, like, oh, I just don't, like, eating would be the least thing that I would want to do to try to fix how I feel. And what I've learned, or I don't know if I've learned it, but what I've been trying to do is continuously eat on a regular basis, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And yesterday I had scrambled eggs for breakfast, and for lunch, I made a roast beef sandwich. Went to the store, bought fresh roast beef, very excited. And come lunchtime, I didn't really feel like eating it. I was like, I don't feel like eating it. And my stomach had a feeling to it that didn't feel like it wanted food. But I'm trying to be, you know, stick with this. So I ate the freaking sandwich. And I was so full. Oh, I felt really crummy. But I just got to get used to it because I think I broke my body. I don't know. But I have got to continue to eat on a regular basis. So I was uncomfortable and I was like, I regretted it. And maybe I could have put too much roast beef. Roast beef is weird. It's hard. I don't know. And maybe I put too much roast beef, but the point is I didn't really feel great. But it passed. And then dinner came last night and I made chili yesterday and I didn't feel like eating that because I was still, you know, sort of dealing with the sandwich. But then later on last night, I did have some chili and got up this morning. I feel terrific. My wife did buy these. Never mind. I had a little slip. I ate some sugar. She bought these things. I don't know. They're like these. They look like compressed cone. I don't know. And they like have honey in them. Oh. It's like those things look terrible. I must have eaten 10. But I got up this morning. I had a little setback, but I got up this morning and went for a nice run, walk, and then came home. And I just weighed myself, and I'm down. I weighed 200.5 pounds. This is good. I'm just grateful.
Thank you. They give you this, but you pay for that. And once you're gone, you can't ever come back. When you're out of the blue and into the black.
It's Neil Young. I almost said Neil Diamond. I was at work all day yesterday, and Neil Diamond kept playing on the music, and I was like, Neil Diamond had it going on, but that is Neil Young. Hey, hey, mama. Good song. But, yeah, so I'm happy, right? I don't know. I'm really, when I went over 200 pounds, I was a little mortified. I'm like, oh, boy. And honestly, I didn't really see a solution. I wasn't really into the idea. I was actually new to the idea that I'd gone over 200 pounds and wasn't sure how to adjust it. And, I'm just happy that I feel like I'm putting in the work. I'm trying to be better. I'm being better. I'm not even trying. I'm being better for sure. And I'm seeing results, so I'm happy about that. But, yeah, so I thought I would come up and do a podcast. I have shared in this, and it's funny, I watch a lot of YouTube and I watch a lot of YouTube, and a lot of these content creators, they all go through the same shit. They start to feel like they're not very good at what they're doing, or, the wolves show up, right? Whether it's in recovery, or it's in work, or it's in podcasting, or, YouTube content. At some point, you will look at yourself and say, what the fuck am I doing? And I'm grateful for this one because we don't have comments. I just get to do this podcast and then I just put it out there and, if someone likes it, they like it. If they don't, they set on it because there's not really, we're not doing YouTube. And, some point the wolves show up, right? And they're like, what are you doing? Wasting time and all this stuff. And I start to listen and I start to question, what is it that I am doing? And what I am doing is something that I absolutely enjoy. I love sitting down and doing this podcast. I've said before, it helps me, with my brain. My brain, I think is, has been beat up from a lot of drugs and alcohol. My memory is not great. I struggle with memory. Sometimes I feel like I'm really struggling with memory. I sort of feel like I've been struggling with my memory a lot lately. Trying to figure out words and stuff. And I think that's also just becoming old or older, right? But this podcast helps me kind of keep my brain working, and so I enjoy that, and I do enjoy chatting about this kind of stuff. I think it's, whether it helps people or not, and I've talked to people that listen to the podcast, and they enjoy the podcast, and it doesn't hurt, right? Definitely trying not to hurt people. But, the wolves show up, and they start surrounding me and separating me from the podcast, and next thing you know, I've told myself that I'm wasting my time and people don't care and yada, yada, yada. And the next thing you know, I'm not doing a podcast, right? Not going to meetings, not doing a podcast. And I like to do this podcast. I enjoy it. So, as I'm addressing how I'm eating and getting my exercise, I'm also going to try to address how I do this podcast. And the way that I'm going to do it is I'm just going to do it. I'm going to ignore the wolves. I'm going to have fun with this podcast. And, I worry about repeating myself. Well, I might repeat myself. I enjoy a lot of podcasts. I listen to different people. I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan. Sometimes I turn on Joe Rogan podcast and I'm not interested. And that doesn't mean that I won't check out the following day. It just means for today, I'm not interested in that. And also, I'll go back sometimes and watch something that at some point I wasn't as interested in, but now I am. So I'm going to try to have fun with this podcast. I'm going to try to keep going and, I'm not going to try. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to do it. And so if you do listen to this podcast, thank you. I appreciate it. And let's just try to stay sober, right, and avoid the wolves and the demons and the devils and bring in the angels and all that good stuff. And, I one of the things I struggle with, are topics. And so I, I asked ChatGPT. I said, "What are some topics that have to do with recovery?" And one of them that was brought up was relapse and recovery. And I am a big fan of that topic because it happens a lot. Relapse. You know, I shared that I went to my buddy's anniversary on Wednesday, and he was celebrating 8 years. But he had gone back out. He had 11 years and went back out and was out for 10 more years and then came back to the program and now just celebrated 8 more years. And, you know, there's so many, you know, it's funny, we come into this program. I came into the program because I, on the surface, I drank too much, right? Eye to eye with the nurse at the hospital, what's your problem? I drink too much. You know, but later through the steps in the program, I would learn that really I get caught too much. And at that time, I was still pretty much loving drinking. And so my problem was I got caught and I got in fights and I got stitches and I got thrown out and all the shit that comes along with that lifestyle. I got too much of that. And it wouldn't be till, you know, years that I would realize that, you know, I didn't come in for the right reason. I came in because I had to. You know, the night that I got sober, March 31st, 1997, I did not wake up expecting to be sober that day. In fact, that was the least thing on my mind. You know, I probably woke up that morning hungover, just like I did every single night, and, you know, full of regret and shame. And maybe that morning I did think about wishing I could quit drinking, or at least wish I could stop feeling like this. You know, if I could drink and not have a hangover, that would have probably been preferred, but, you know, whatever it was. But for some reason, you know, that night, you know, paths crossed and I ended up in the ER looking a nurse straight in the eye and her asking me, "Do you think you have a drinking problem?" And, you know, I definitely had started to have anxiety, depression. That story seems to be run true through most people that have been down this journey, including my buddy that celebrated. You know, he said he was on 3, you know, mental medications when he finally came back into the program. You know, I went down that route, asking my doctor, "I think I'm depressed. How much do you drink?" he says. And I said, "I maybe have a couple beers a week." He says, "Okay, well, it's not the alcohol then, right? Bad information, you know, bad solution." You know, if I'd said, "Well, I was drinking a bottle of vodka every night, doctor," he'd probably say, "Maybe you should try not drinking a bottle of vodka." But no, I was a liar. And the demons wanted to protect me because in the end, right, the demons just want us dead. And so the demons, you know, had me lie, not tell the truth. And so I was on antipsychotic medicine. And I remember taking it and hoping that it would make, you know, the anxiety and depression from my behavior go away. And it didn't. And I was in the worst part, and I've shared. And it's hard today, right? That's the fucked up part about this. It's hard for me to remember those days, but I have glimpses of them. I remember sitting on my couch when I lived in the, you know, in that small apartment back, you know, behind the freaking bar. And I remember debating on shooting this crossbow into the side of my head. I was in a lot of sad, dark place. But drinking or quitting drinking was not on the top of the list. And so when I said yes, I was put on a journey that, you know, it's like getting on the wrong train. You know, it goes to New York, but you don't know where. And you're just sort of going along with it. And that's how it was, man. I was just going along with it. Didn't know what I was to expect. Didn't really know that I even wanted to be sober. But like every situation that I get into in my life, it always gets, it's that moment where you're in the corner and they're like, "What are you going to do about it?" And you're like, "Fine, I'll do it." Well, that's sort of how this situation, or else, right? That's how this situation sort of came about. It was like, "What are you going to do or else? And I was like, "I'll go to the recovery place," right? And I went to that 5th floor upstairs at the hospital and I spent 7 days and AA found me and it did bring me in. I loved it. It was everything I was hoping for. To wake up in the morning and not feel hungover and full of shame and guilt and wonder and hopelessness. Every day, that's how I woke up. And then I went to work. I mean, I could have gotten a DUI every morning. I was still drunk. But off I went. And so, you know, the journey was awesome. But, you know, I was there out of fear. I was there out of self. And it just, you know, it is what it is. And I, next thing you know, right? And I've shared the story. The wolves separated me from the herd. You know, I like to say that the wolf separated me from the herd by that meeting. But, you know, I didn't follow any of my the advice given to me early on in recovery. One being, don't go to freaking school in your first year, which I did. And I said here today in front of this computer in my house, I'm living the best life, so I'm not mad at the path I took. Unfortunately, there were some casualties in there, a couple ex-wives and an education and some bosses. But here I sit, right? Sober, haven't had a drink for 18 years. And I'm just so grateful. But, you know, early on I came in the program and I said, I was ready to catch up. I'd been hampered long enough by this freaking drug and alcohol. And so now that I'm done with it, let's get on with life. And my sponsor's like, you shouldn't do things like that in the first year. And I'm like, well, you should know better. And off I went. And I went to school into an education that I didn't even like. That is the weird part about getting sober, is that we get sober. I got sober. And next thing you know, I'm just like, I love everything. Right? You know, I had a shitty job working on a golf course, which I appreciated, and I appreciated them giving me the job. And actually, there are parts of that I do like. I've shared a lot about that. But, you know, I got that job, right? And then it was the only thing, and I think that happens for a lot of alcoholics. It's like, well, I work, so I must not be bad, right? And so that job kept me anchored to some hope that I wasn't a complete piece of shit. And I did enjoy it. I did like the responsibility. I did like being appreciated. And that didn't happen a lot in my life up until that point. And so it was good. And so when I finally did get sober, right, it felt like the only thing I should do, is because I obviously love what I do, is to go further into that career. And it was fine. You know, it was fine. But, you know, like he said, you shouldn't do it. And I didn't. And I went to college for something that I didn't love. Graduated. It wasn't about the school, and it wasn't about the course, and it wasn't about did I love it. It was about completing something, which I hadn't been able to do for so long. Complete something, especially when it had to do with school. And so completing that, and then getting into that field, and just hating it, right? But I'm like, I should love it. I'm sober, and this is what I do, and I should be in love with everything. And no, that's not the case. You know, myself, my ego and my pride had driven me into a direction that, in the end, I wasn't a huge fan of. And falling into a relationship, which I wasn't supposed to do in the first year, but I did it, of course, because I do whatever the fuck I want to do. I don't listen. Started dating a beautiful woman who had an amazing career. And I was just a piece of shit in my mind. And I had no career, and I had no money, and I was barely holding it together. And so everything, you know, I just questioned my quality. You know, am I good enough for her? Am I good enough for this? She clearly has made a mistake. She can't like me. And that's a fucking miserable place to be. And it's also miserable to be dating somebody like that. Been there too. And so, of course, you know, I'm like, well, our relationship's going to break up. She can't like me. She's got to break up with me. How am I, you know, she's going to figure out that I'm a piece of shit. And one day she said, you know what? I figured it out. You're a piece of shit. No, she didn't say that. But she broke up with me. I think I was just, you know, I constantly felt like she was cheating on me, on the phone with somebody. Like, we'd be going somewhere. She'd be following me. And I'd see her on the phone. I'm like, she's on the phone with another guy. Because I didn't know who I was, and I had no love for myself. I had no freedom. I lived in constant fear. I wasn't good enough. It's just, you know, the advice was, don't get into these things early on in recovery, and there's a good reason, because I'm not capable of handling it. But I did it, right? And that relationship broke up, and met my first wife at a at a restaurant the night my girlfriend and I broke up and grabbed onto her because I was insecure and sad, and that was my MO. I used people. I take people hostage. And that's what I did. And then just got used to it and ended up getting married. Shouldn't have done that, right? So, you know, a lot of crazy shit happened in my first year. And then, you know, to 4 years later, to pick up a drink and lose it all. Lose it all. You know, when I came into the program for hopefully the second and the last time, hopefully, you know, I came in as a new hairdresser. I was divorced. I had a child. And I had lost everything that I had earned in the first 4 years of recovery, doing all the things I was told not to do. You know, but when that moment that, you know, March 31st, 1997, I had to, or else, right? I was on the fence. I mean, I had thought, you know, I had flirted with calling the anonymous number on the recovery number, and I had called it a couple times, and I had talked to a couple people, and I had been to a couple meetings, and I was on the outside. I was flirting around. I was skirting the herd, right? You know, I'd gone to a couple meetings. I drank afterwards. You know, I was that guy. I see me coming in all the time, showing up once in a while. And, you know, but it was all about self, right? It was all about fear, and I have to, and look at me, and I'm doing great. Everybody check me out. And then, you know, having the drink and, you know, losing it all. And finally, you know, the devil, right? The wolves separated me from the herd, and I was free to hunt and do whatever the fuck I wanted to do. And I was absolutely miserable, right? The wife had left. The child was gone. And it was just a really, really dark place. And that's when I had that moment, you know, I can't do this. And I want something else. And I made that phone call because I got to, right? It was that change in attitude. And then it just became, you know, it just became an amazing journey. You know, it hasn't been perfect, right? I don't do this perfectly. But I start to understand, right? It starts to become, I'm not here because I want to look good. I want everybody to recognize that I'm sober. You know, I'm here because of the wonderful gifts that I get through working the 12 steps of this program and this relationship I have with God. Not perfect, right? I am not perfect. It's I always say I'm in the hands, but I slop around in there. You know, I'm slapping up on the sides because, you know, I'm doing the best I can, but I'm still got, you know, some demons. You know, I don't have a balanced cord all the time. And, you know, I struggle sometimes with relationships with my wife. I have trouble with being honest about how I feel about certain situations in my relationship, and I just let them pass and they boil up and then I get pissed off. I feel like, I don't know, you know, it's just always something, but I'm just, you know, I'm just grateful. And so the whole point was, I am the guy that needed to go back out, right? I don't call it a relapse. I call it, I don't know what I call it. I guess it's a relapse, but it was necessary for me. I didn't plan it, but looking back, it worked out really well because then I started to understand from a different perspective, you know, not one of self, but one of more of a humble side of this program. And, you know, I really appreciate that. And it's been an amazing journey, and I'm just so grateful for it. But I wasn't headed that way when I had first come in. I didn't understand any of that, right? Sometimes I have to go through some hard times to realize that's hard times. We don't want to do that, right? I've been told that that's hard times, but I actually went through it this time, and I'm like, yeah, that is hard, and I definitely don't want to do that. And now I see, hopefully, how to avoid it. How to avoid the herd or the pack of wolves. But yeah, so let's see what the daily reflections is. I wonder if it has anything to do with what I just talked about. How cool would that be? And then I got to go. Someone's coming to clean my dad's house, and then I got to go to work. All right, lighting the dark past, May 2nd. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have. The key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. Yeah, I'm going to read that one more time. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have. Yeah. The key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery of them. That's right. So that's sort of kind of what I'm saying, right? I don't recommend relapse, but relapse was a very dark time in my life. But today, right, with the help of God, with understanding of, you know, where I'm at today, you know, I can look back on it. It's not, you know, there are things that I can look back on that go, I missed that, right? I don't miss my relapse. I think I learned a lot about why I'm here and the disease that I suffer from, right? I used to think I thought I had a drinking problem. And I only have a drinking problem if I start drinking. I have a thinking problem. I have a decision-making problem. Drinking is, to me, is a character defect. I make bad choices. And if in the wrong hands with the wrong, you know, evidence, I will make the wrong choice. And today, I think through the steps, I can figure out all the evidence and figure out the real path I need to take, and I can see it today. So, all right, let me see that. Let me finish this. All right, that was Alcoholics Anonymous, page 124. No longer is my past an autobiography. It is a reference book to be taken down, opened, and shared. Today, as I report for duty, the most wonderful picture comes through. For though this day be dark, as some days must be, the stars will shine even brighter later. My witness that they do shine will be called for in the very near future. All my past will this day be part of me because it is the key, not the lock. God, oh, it's weirdly written. Yeah, I get that. You know, the other weird thing is about the past is it's like you never, you know, it fades. I couldn't even tell you how I was feeling back in those days because, you know, I don't remember. Right. And the memories I have, they're like, oh, it wasn't so bad. And so, but yeah, it is. I think it is important to, you know, be able to look back on some of this stuff and not do it in a lot of fear. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day and we'll catch up later. Bye.